You know, we'll be here, just about here, so we need to start next minute or so. And for the Pledge of Allegiance, just once again, we're going to do the Pledge of Allegiance where our flag usually is, over here on the south side of the campus, so we're just going to face in that direction. All right, so we're going to do a call to the order. Actually, we haven't started, I haven't counted. I'm just cramping you all. When we get there, we'll do it.
Thank you.
Yeah, not yet, but I appreciate it like that. That's a good practice one. Actually, well, with that, I guess I'll just call the meeting to order. So we're going to call to order the July 24th meeting of the Chula Vista Planning Commission. Madam Secretary, would you be so kind as to begin the roll call?
Yes. Commissioner Burroughs?
Here.
Commissioner De La Rosa?
Here.
Commissioner Milburn?
Here.
Commissioner Nava?
Here.
Commissioner Torres?
Here.
And Chair Gutierrez?
Here.
And Commissioner Zaker has requested an excuse absence.
Colleagues, is there a motion to excuse?
I'll make a motion.
Got a motion by Commissioner Burroughs.
Second.
Seconded by Commissioner Nava. Yep. Vote. Hands up. Or for those who want to vote. Okay, so the motion passes with all commissioners present voting aye.
Thank you.
And now we begin the fun part. Pledge of Allegiance. We all practice for this morning?
Mm-hmm.
All right. And when everybody's ready, Commissioner De La Rosa, will you lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance?
Sure. Ready again?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right. So we're going to begin this with an opening statement. Good evening. Before beginning tonight's meeting, I'd like to make a few introductory remarks. The Planning Commission is comprised of 7 citizens who serve without pay and are appointed to the City Council. The Commission has responsibility for considering general plan amendments, rezonings, conditional use permits, precise plans, and subdivisions. Some Commission actions are final unless appealed to the City Council. The Chair will call each case by number, and staff will provide an overview of the proposal. The public hearing is open, and if you wish to speak on any item, we ask that you fill out a speaker slip and submit it to our secretary. When addressing the commission, please give your name and address, and we ask that you limit your remarks to 5 minutes. Upon completion of testimony, the public hearing will be closed, and the commission will deliberate and act on each item. Should a request be denied or anyone wishes to appeal our recommendation, the appeal must be filed in writing with the planning department within 10 calendar days of our decision. An appeal fee is required. Any visual aids that are used during staff's presentation are to assist the commission in a clear understanding of the proposal. Visual aids that are used during the applicant's presentation do not necessarily represent staff's position or endorsement of the presentation and are solely reflective of the presenter's views. We ask that all cell phones be turned off and appreciate your attendance and participation at this meeting. It's a little more intimate tonight, so cell phones are a little more obvious, right? Okay, so with that, with the opening statement, we're going to now do the approval of minutes, which is item one. So, colleagues, please take a look at agenda item one. And once you all feel taking a good look, feel free to make a motion.
I'll make a motion to approve.
We have a commission. We have a motion to approve the minutes by Commissioner Nava.
Second it.
We have a second by Commissioner De La Rosa.
Thank you.
That brings a vote. So once again, we're going to do it old school. So if you'd like to approve the minutes, please raise your hand. All commissioners present, vote aye. The motion passes. Which now brings us to public comment. Is there anybody who wishes to speak on a non-agenda item? Going once, going twice, and closed. So with that, we're now going to do, because the public comment is closed, we're now going to begin the public hearings. And today's item number two, is a public hearing on DR 180019. This is a consideration of a 46-unit apartment complex with an affordable housing component and resident amenities to include a community room on the first floor and recreation areas for active and passive use on approximately 1.13 acres west of 3rd Avenue and south of K Street. Staff, take it away.
All right. Good evening, Chair Gutierrez and Planning Commissioners. Tonight we are presenting a design review for a proposed 46-unit apartment development publication. The developer is proposing 46 units in the application of the California State Density Bonus Law to to include three rent-restricted units for occupancy by very low-income households, consistent with the density bonus law. The applicant is entitled to reductions in development standards, such as height, setbacks, parking, by use of an incentive, concession, or waiver under density law provisions. The applicant is requesting a waiver from the Chula Vista Municipal Code 19.90.080H parking requirements, with allowance for a reduction in four parking spaces from 73 spaces to 69 parking spaces. The proposed project is consistent with the permitted use by the Urban Core Specific Plan, subject to design approval by the Planning Commission. The project site is situated in Western Chula Vista, south of K Street, between 3rd and 4th Avenue. The project site has been previously disturbed and graded with an automotive body repair shop. The present site is vacant, but still retains the shell buildings of the previous use. Adjacent land uses are the following. North of the site is a rental facility for construction tools and machines, a gas station, and multifamily development. To the west is a multifamily development, and to the east are three contiguous parcels fronting 3rd Avenue with two restaurants and a bank. To the south is a commercial building with a bank use. The project is located less than 500 feet from a bus stop on 3rd Avenue serving the Metropolitan Transit System, Route 929, and less than a quarter of a mile from the 704 bus stop along 4th Avenue with daily pickup and drop-off. This is a view looking south at the existing site. This is a view looking north from the south end of the parcel. This is a view looking east at the contiguous parcels with restaurant and bank uses. And this is a view looking west at the adjacent multifamily development towards 4th Avenue. The project consists of the development of a 41,770 square foot building with 46 units within one four-story building. The project consists of two courtyards linked at the ground level and one elevator. The site is required to provide 73 parking spaces. However, use of density bonus law allows the applicant to waive the parking development standard and allow for the reduction of four parking spaces for a total of 69 parking spaces. The project requires 7,383 square feet of open space and provides square feet of landscaping and provides 9,746 square feet of landscape area. The project will provide an indoor community room of 1,444 square feet and recreational areas for both active and passive uses. Access to the site will be from a two-way entry along K Street. As shown on this graphic, the project will include streetscape improvements such as sidewalks, decorative street lighting, bike racks, and a bench to improve connectivity and provide safe pedestrian access both through and around the site. The perimeter walls will consist of a decorative design. The garden walls will consist of a 3-foot tall block wall with intermittent openings for a decorative design throughout the property, but will be more visible fronting K Street. The surrounding property will have a larger wall on the eastern and southern property line at a height of 6 feet. The architecture throughout the site is a modern adaptation of the familiar and regionally appropriate courtyard housing typology. The design is simple with bold articulation design such as metal accents, plaster, glass sidings, and varied roof lines. The maximum height allowed is 60 feet and the project is proposing 49 feet and 7 inches. The building's fenestration allows those passing by to see welcoming large windows and balconies. In addition, the building will feature articulated walls, color variety, different finish textures, and step facades to maintain proper scale with the surroundings. This is the view from the northeast end at the K Street, or at the 3rd Avenue and K Street intersection, looking southwest. This view is along K Street, looking southeast. And this view is fronting on K Street. This view is from the west side parking area looking east. The project consists of one residential building containing four floor plans, two types for one-bedroom units, one type for two-bedroom units, and one type for three-bedroom units. The 46 units will provide 19 one-bedroom units, 19 two-bedroom units, and 8 three-bedroom units. The proposed unit plans include a full kitchen, living room, bedroom, bathrooms, and closets. Staff recommends that the Planning Commission adopt a resolution approving design review permit DR18-0019, subject to the conditions in the resolution. The applicant would like to share their presentation at this time.
So at the final finality, so the staff is completed, correct? At the presentation?
Yes, staff is completed.
So colleagues, if there's any clarifying questions, these aren't opinions, but clarifying questions for staff for the project, please raise your hand at this point and I will jot it down as your hands are raised. Okay, well, I have a clarifying question from Commissioner Milburn.
Yeah, I just had one on the parking waiver from the city. That's in addition and over and above the density bonus clause.
That's consistent with the density bonus.
That is, it's one of the density bonus.
Okay. So automatically, if any project applies for a density bonus, they get a reduction in parking. It's applied to our 19.90 section of our code. And then they're using a waiver to do a further reduction of 4 parking spaces.
That's still within the...
Yes, it's part of the... Yeah. Thank you.
Okay. Colleagues, any other questions? Okay, seeing no other further clarifying questions, we're going to open up the public hearing to the public. Or in this case, I don't see, there's probably going to be the applicant for about 15 minutes, Mr. Shirey. So that's what we discuss.
How long does the applicant need?
How much time do you need, sir?
Really, 5 to 10 minutes tops.
Okay, so raise your hand if you're from the public and not an applicant. Okay, so it's just basically the applicant today. So, sir, do your presentation. Obviously, it's just more for the commission. You have 5 minutes, sir,
okay.
Or 10 minutes.
Thank you. I'm Eric Naslin with Studio E Architects, and with me is Alina, also from Studio E Architects, the client Dan Floyd, and I'm sorry.
Alex.
Mm-hmm. And then behind me here is Mike Bale, the landscape architect, and Steve Kettler, the civil engineer. So we can answer any of your technical questions across the full spectrum there, just so you know. Can you have our slides?
Just a real quick, oh. Sure.
Thank you for your flexibility.
Very good.
Yeah. I'm good. I do think it's great that the conclusion statement is now frozen up there. And I'm hoping you're going to pay careful attention to what that says.
And burned into the screen.
Yes, exactly.
Turn it off, it's a little stage.
Yeah.
Okay.
There we go. Yay.
Almost there, guys.
Yeah, almost there.
And girls.
There we go. Staff did a pretty terrifically good job of explaining the project, and so I won't belabor the points that they've made, but I do want to highlight a few things that are important about our consideration relative to the design. One of the kind of important pieces for us was the idea that this site is positioned sort of pretty much ideally to be multifamily in terms of its possible support to the Third Avenue, the regional aspects of Third Avenue and its important pedestrian relationship to the entire city. And everything to the west of us really is akin in terms of its bulk, scale, and typology. And I think that's kind of important relative to how we thought about the design. It's a series of these of simple forms around figural open spaces that are for the residents, and that's how we've constructed ours as well. we made ourselves a kind of courtyard that kind of passes through the building, if you will, at the lower level, so that common space is the linkage between courtyards on the east and west and opens to both. But the premise also relative to contributing to the larger city is that all the parking does come in off K Street. It is all surface, which we think was an important consideration relative to overall cost, because we can transfer costs that would normally be associated with, you know, the housing of vehicles and put it into a better and more appropriate response in terms of a building, because we didn't have to invest in that. So the parking is generally pushed into the heart of the block, away from the street, away from the pedestrian relationships of 3rd Avenue and certainly K Street. And further, along K Street, we've lined those units up with their terraces behind a garden wall with the intention that they're trying to create that kind of semi-private zone that allows those people to engage in the city life in a kind of safe and manageable fashion. It's a classic kind of small town front porch idea, where people can actually interact with their neighbors in a way that is that's accommodating to them. So we tried to make sure that those spaces out, those terraces out front, do that job. So if we go to the next slide, please. And you saw this here, that the courtyards with the ground level common space linking it, and all the parking generally organized to the south and into the back. Next slide, please. And then in 3D, what we were really trying to accomplish here was a building that had this kind of both ins and outs and ups and downs relative to its massing. So that it really is understood to be an accumulation of forms rather than one big form, a kind of village of things, if you will. And we wanted to make sure that the front door, the thing that got you to the courtyard, was really highly expressed and celebrated. So that's that kind of yellow slot right there. It's wide open, and you can get a view from that entrance all the way into the courtyard itself, as well as to see it when you're looking down the side there. And you can sort of see that garden wall and the idea about landscaping and those terraces that will spill out and be a part of that. And then the living spaces themselves are trying to be big volume, lots of glass, and offset by the simple kind of frame of the building itself, which is the white portions of it. Again, parking all the way in the back. Next slide. And then the elevations just kind of articulate that. It's primarily a plaster building. That's everything that's white there. But we have accenting materials. The ground floor is being rendered in a cement board siding, and it's trying to be create a kind of base of the building. The darker gray color is a metal panel. So those are those volumetric living room spaces. Next. That's facing to the street, and there's quite a lot of glazing and kind of people coming and going both into the building itself and into individual units. Next slide. From the parking, that kind of courtyard entrance is the thing that sort of draws you from parking in. Next slide. And then the last piece of this is looking from the west into the courtyard itself. That part of the building is actually single-loaded. The two wings, right and left, are double-loaded. But the single-loaded part is got where there's this kind of brighter, livelier color that's really trying to be as if it were you cracked open a geode and all the color and the vibrancy was in that section right there. And I will point out here, you can sort of see through the building at the corridors. All the corridors are open at the ends, so we're trying to keep these things open, well-ventilated, accommodating, part of the climate that we so enjoy here. Next slide. I think that's it. So with that, unless there's anything from a landscape or civil perspective you want to say? Or?
I think you touched on the key line, the interaction with the building.
Yeah. So we're available for questions. Unless, Dan, is there anything you wanted to add?
No.
Okay. So anybody else for public comment? Seeing no one else for public comment, I'm going to be closing public comment. And now begins the fun part. Deliberation by my colleagues. So once again, raise your hand, and I'll announce you, and I'll write your name down in order. So anybody want to start us off? We're going to start with Commissioner Torres.
Well,
I'll defer to the other commissioners if they want to ask a question, because mine's a little convoluted. I promise I'll stay within 10 minutes. But.
Go for it, Commissioner Torres. Okay. Kick us off.
All right. If you go to page 33 of our packet, this is a question specific to this project, but more of a general question as well. Okay, look at item 40 under building division, where it talks about the applicant shall adhere to various codes, building code, the California, and in particular, the one I'm looking at is the California Green Standards Code, as adopted and amended by the state of California, the city of Chula Vista. The question I have is this, is that the city, and I should have asked this for the last project we considered, but I have a particular interest with high-density multi-family infill projects, okay, which is what this is, okay, is that the city had recently adopted a climate action plan, okay, and two of the excerpt pages that I have refer to the climate mitigation plan of 2008, when it talked about solar and energy efficiency conversions. And it talked about providing a cost-effective, streamlined mechanism for property owners to implement solar and energy efficiency upgrades and create a municipal code requiring pre-wiring for solar electric systems. It also said that the city had passed a solar-ready ordinance in 2009 and created a PACE financing program in 2014. Also, in this climate action plan under municipal action 2014, it talked about the green building and infrastructure. All new buildings over 10,000 square feet, of which this is one, will be designed and constructed to meet enhanced green building standards, while at least two existing buildings can be operated and maintained to meet enhanced green building standards. So the question, page 33 already talks about that they have to adhere to the California Green Standards Code. But I was wondering, with this particular project and any other high-density multifamily infill projects that come to us, is there consideration that these projects must adhere to the city's climate action plan, in effect, adopting technologies or whatever to provide solar energy for their electricity? An example, right nearby this project is St. Rose of Lima. Okay, it's a church right there on H and 3rd. And what they did is that they put up on their parking lot covers for their the cars, and on top of those covers are solar panels. Mm-hmm. Okay, and I was wondering if there's any thought by the city for prospective applicants like these to adopt these kinds of design guidelines in conformance with the city's action plan, climate action plan. Are you with? I know I'm being a little bit convoluted, but you get my drift?
You say design guidelines. You want us to regulate the design of solar panels, or
no? I wanted to know if the design guidelines for prospective projects like these should or could require them to adopt in spirit, if not by the letter, the city's climate action plan. In the case I pointed out, is adopting solar energy technology or design guidelines or whatnot. And I'm using this case in point, the parking lot, because they're going to have a big parking lot in the back. Okay, we're granting them four less parking stalls as part of the density bonus, okay, which is cost savings to them. So the question is that could we not have said, you know what, in as a trade-off for this, we want you to put up over the
carports,
yeah, with solar panels on those, so that, because the city has a climate action plan, and we want these types of high-density, multifamily infill projects to start subscribing to these requirements.
Well, our green building standards, I know for single-family, you could talk about it further, probably for multifamily. We require pre-wiring right now for solar.
Okay.
There's going to be an upcoming building code update where you have to put solar arrays in the mandatory.
Okay.
That's for single family, multifamily, I'm not sure if you're aware.
Yeah, for multifamily, you do have to pre-wire and be solar ready, absolutely, in California now.
Okay.
And he's right, upcoming Title 24 energy is going to start requiring solar as part of your photovoltaic solar, as a part of your building coming in the future.
But not for this particular project, though.
So we're making it ready. Relative to the client's perspective on that, I don't know the answer to that. I don't know if you want to talk about it, Dan, or not. But
well, the green building standards have an energy usage max, and you can reach that in a different number of ways, solar just being one. Is that correct?
No, that's a good point before you answer that question. We are adhering to a pretty stringent set of building standards, mm-hmm. for sure, that are required in the state of California.
Right.
So envelope measures and, you know, I mentioned that, for instance, the idea that the corridors are wide open. That's mm-hmm. so that we're not mechanically treating them, and that creates a cross-ventilation opportunity so that you don't have to turn on the mechanical inside your units, etc.
Right.
All these things are geared towards
reducing
energy. Yeah,
I got the issue about the forced air through these openings and whatnot.
Right, exactly.
Okay, so...
We're making it all available. Okay. The envelope and all the things that we're doing relative to this is at the highest levels that we can do. The material selections, the appliance selections, all those things are at high levels.
But the solar pre-wiring will be implemented, so that way at some future point, if you guys decide to pursue a solar as far as your energy consumption is concerned, that will be available to do.
That's now code in the state of California, so we are doing that.
Yeah, I was just wondering about, again, you know, the parking lot and the, you know, these covers with the solar panel being mm-hmm. put on top. Because mm-hmm. I just thought, with how the parking is congregated in the back mm-hmm. in such a big slot, mm-hmm. it would have been a prime mm-hmm. example of implementing that.
Mm-hmm.
Was there any consideration given to that? Just by chance,
we didn't put it there. I will tell you, over the years, we've done. Many, many versions of photovoltaics, both over cars and on buildings. In fact, we designed for UC Davis what the project they call West Village, which is America's largest zero net energy community in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
And that involved lots of photovoltaics across the roof and onto carport structures to make possible. So got a lot of experience with all of that. I will say that it's always going to be less expensive and easier to do if you can adhere it to your roof.
Right.
If you have to build a structure to hold it up, you'll pay more to build the structure than you will to actually to put the solar on top of
right.
it. So as a rule, we try to gear roofs, and that's the other reason why these roofs are parapeted and low sloping, so that they're really convenient to add that in at a future date.
Yeah, and I saw with the roof design the way it is, and I saw there was no photovoltaic cells on top of that, but you addressed in part one of my concerns is about energy consumption when you talked about how open it is.
Yes.
And it requires less heating and
right.
cooling into the building.
Exactly.
Okay, well, that's my question.
Thank you, Commissioner Torres. The next person that was asked to speak was Commissioner De La Rosa. Commissioner Rosa.
Thank you, Chair. I appreciate that. And Commissioner Torres, just to recap, I think what you were asking is whether or not it meets or exceeds the green building standards, and then you specifically asked about wiring and solar panels or a solar structure over the parking.
Right.
And was the question whether or not through this process we could mandate them to do that, or
well,
in terms of did they? You asked the question if they considered it, they answered it, but I didn't know if that was the end of the
question.
I'm just trying to understand.
And thank you for asking that question. I'd like to, and the reason why I didn't force that question as an open question is I don't know where the predisposition of this commission is, but for me, I just think it's a lost opportunity for us not to require that of this particular project. But again, based on this, based on the design guidelines, and the fact that they have to adhere to the green standards code and with the previous testimony, I'm not going to push that.
Commissioner, did you want to say something?
Well, I haven't read our climate action plan. I think it's more of a document for intent. I don't think there's standards in it and, you know, requirements in it. So we have to go back to what our code says or what condition 40 says to meet all these green standard codes and plumbing codes and whatnot. Mm-hmm. So that's what they have to meet. So I think it would be problematic should the commission now all this, you know, based on review at this meeting, say, well, we would also add a condition that we're going to require the developer to build a structure in their parking lot and use solar panels. I think that would be problematic just based on the way the code's laid out now. Sounds like that might be coming in the future, right. And then the city would update whatever code to do that.
And I have an opinion on that as an architect too. Code doesn't require solar panels in this code cycle. You just have to provide the area where the panels are going to be on an exhibit, maybe, mm-hmm. and conduit to where that's mm-hmm. going to go and the wire. So it's not something that we can actually.
Yeah, but there is reference to requirement of solar pre-wiring,
yeah.
which mm-hmm. the applicant testified that they are yes. doing. So that means that, and that's why my general question is: the city thinking about, you know, putting forward these types of design?
I don't want to speak for staff, but it sounds like they meet the standards.
Right.
But I
yeah.
guess I would
yeah.
ask as a commissioner, I too would be interested in that in terms of if through our climate action plan. Is that something in terms of, in the discretion? Council is saying that it would be problematic, and I guess I would ask the question, is that in the discretion of the Planning Commission at a future date? I think there are other considerations here, and if this project met those standards today, I'm seem satisfied with that at this point. I mean, I have other questions, but I would leave that to staff. I think that would be a good question to follow up on, because I don't think that is an unusual question to ask given circumstances of how we've seen other buildings and school districts and others implementing this. So if it's an option, they have either ways to satisfy this, whether it's through solar panels or whether the state's requiring
sure.
them to plumb it or whatever it is, I think that would be a good question. And I think that's what you're,
yeah.
if I may, Commissioner Torres, I think that's what
yeah,
you're
yeah, and I think that staff did a good, I think even the applicant basically said Tile 24 is currently being changed. So right now, so for the last few times it's been conduits, but in the future, it could very well be solar panels, and we will change and amend to comply, and then as will applicants in the future.
So I'm sorry, Chair, if I can continue.
Yes, continue.
I just wanted to recap. I just
no.
understood where Commissioner Torres was on
that. Go for it.
There was a couple things that I wanted to just really. First of all, I'm excited to see this type of product happening in Chula Vista. I think these are the type of products that we want to see in terms of multifamily housing, dense housing, and the affordable housing element, density bonus, whatever we're calling it. I wish there was more, but I understand the dynamics and the feasibility of the project, right? And I know that's in all your realm. But I think it's important in terms of encouraging these projects. And to that note, I have a couple questions in regards to the units refers to multifamily and, you know, the ratio of one, two bedrooms and multifamilies. I just had a question in regards to the recreational space that was allotted or determined here in terms of meeting the recreational space needed for the future residents and context of the area. So I understand we're dealing with an urban core specific plan that was set, and we have recreational amenities in the general area. I guess I would just ask maybe more of a question for staff in terms of maybe you can clarify if they meet that, is the patio or balcony ratio considered in that open space for the resident or recreational space? And if you can clarify what the square footage is in that, and if someone can share with me in this type of building, are we seeing equivalent spaces, because it just seemed a little small to me on that end.
Yeah.
So I'm a little concerned, given the other recreational amenities around it, and it may be very well be that the urban core speaks to that and what amenities are expected. I thought maybe you could expand upon that.
Well, for this zone, it's actually C1, and there is no open space requirement. So the balconies and the actual community rooms and the passive and active recreational leisure areas are on behalf of the applicant providing that. It wasn't required as part of the urban core specific plan.
So the urban core specific plan in terms of these densities does not speak to it.
That's correct.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So there's an indoor community room. There's two different courtyards. They're providing barbecue areas. active and passive leisure for residents.
Continue.
I don't see this project in terms of breaking the camel's back, so to speak, in terms of stretching that. But I would say to staff that maybe through the chair, a follow-up discussion on that. I am curious in terms of if you have that density and we are developing those cores for housing, what we expect in terms of recreational amenities, especially if we're looking at multi-family units. I think that's a challenging discussion, understanding, you know, you want quality projects to move forward, you want the density to move forward, but I'd like to learn more how staff anticipated that in terms of recreational.
Pat, can at a future meeting, can we have staff basically report back during director's comments to the questions that Mr.
Sure.
LaRosa was saying?
Yes.
Thank you.
I understand in terms of, I think it was noted, a staff could just clarify for me, there are transportation corridors, it looks like it's right along 3rd Avenue. So there was, okay, so that was anticipated, because I know there are other projects or up in the area and there's other apartments existing. I think staff just hopefully takes note of that in terms of that urban core is going to be built out, if there's going to be a threshold in which we need to encourage and work with MTS at some point for frequency of routes, if we're getting that density in those locations. Just real quickly, on the wall, on the outside wall, can maybe the developer can walk me through, or the architect can walk me through the material being used? Because I guess what I'm afraid of is I understand the privacy issue, but I'm also don't want it to look like a, you know, like a barrier, like it's just a block wall with no aesthetics, no.
Sure. I'll just explain it real quick, and then I'll go back to my slide where it shows the walls. But so the front portion is their garden walls, and that's actually going to have the block cylinder where you can kind of see through the holes for that kind of design. On this end, towards the west side, with the adjacent multifamily property, it's actually going to be a fence of 6 feet in height, and towards the southern end is another decorative CMU wall. And let me just pull that up, because it's going to be wrap around the southern end and the eastern end.
So I guess I'm just curious in terms of, as it wraps around the building, it's not just a straight wall, you know, a CMU wall, just with no type of, I'm just curious what the code is going to be, or the cover. I mean, can anyone speak to what that's going to look like?
Well, the perimeter wall and the lower garden wall are going to be a decorative block.
Okay.
And currently, I don't know if
like a split face block or
well,
is it going to be another decorative feature?
The current proposal has varying textures and they're varying colors, so it'd be somewhat modeled in appearance as opposed to one color block across you know the entire length. There you can kind of see it somewhat expressed in those drawings right there, but there would be multiple colors of block.
The garden wall is 3 feet. Is that right?
Correct.
3 feet.
That's along the street edge.
Okay, yeah. And the back wall there. What's the height of that?
Six.
Which I believe is the required height.
Okay.
Between the uses.
Those are the property line walls.
Sure. No, understandable. I don't know what other materials you would use. So there's going to be landscape on the perimeter, or is that just
there
not right on the property line?
There will be landscaping in the perimeter. Let me bring that up for you. So I kind of know that you're looking towards kind of, but it's not just, one interesting thing that I didn't go over in my slide, and I'll just stand up for it, but on this side is actually a jack-in-the-box and their drive-through. So right here, they're providing a screen wall, which is actually going to add some visual break from the whole CMU wall facade and allow, you know, just a change in what they're looking at for that whole courtyard area.
I guess my concern is it becomes a campus for other activities.
Ah.
And as if you try to look at the wall and break it up or add a feature to it, it might discourage that. I mean, it's not going to always happen, and I don't know if that's always true. But also not to just look at a straight wall in terms of, I understand that it's the property line separation of property. But that would be a concern. And I guess I would just leave that to the architect. I see the design. I'm not totally excited about the bottom design in terms of it looks. I understand. I think they're going to the modern edge. I don't know what can be done with that. I mean, it's a wall is a wall, right? I guess I would just encourage and ask questions in terms of the landscaping that's going to be there. I don't know how specific we're getting in the landscaping.
There is a barrier along in front of all those walls. There is a landscape buffer on our project side.
Okay.
That's basically where that wall is located, at least along the southern portion of the project. A car will be parked up against it, but there'll be a small buffer of landscape again. And then along the eastern side of the building there, there's, you know, you can see a very narrow stretch of landscaping between the building and the property wall. And then, as Oscar pointed out, there's the courtyard on the east side of the building where the wall will also be located, which has a significant amount of landscaping in front of it. However, there's no landscaping on the outer edge of it.
Further
questions?
I don't have any further questions. I don't know how the rest of the commission feels, but I want to be mindful. Encourage these projects. It's definitely going to be visible as these projects go through. I want to be very mindful in terms of being the first one in that the landscaping is going to be such that it encourages and it beautifies the outside, serves its purpose. I'm not necessarily getting that from the photo, mm-hmm. and I would just leave that with you in those comments.
Sure.
But I think my comments would rest there. I would leave you, but I would encourage you to find landscaping because I think it's going to be visible, and I think it would help the project in itself. And I think with just a wall, straight wall, even with minimal low-lying landscaping, I think you're going to. I think it would just be in the favor of the project to actually see something a little bit more lush.
I didn't see any hands raised, but I'm looking at my my architects on the. Okay, so we got Commissioner. I'm like looking at the two landscape architect and architect. Like, the next hand that I saw raised was Commissioner Milburn. Saw you, buddy.
Okay, thank you. I missed this earlier, but the yellow accents are those. Is that metal or is that?
No, that's colored plaster.
Colored plaster. Okay. All right. And then about the stormwater and the environmental. Assessment reports. I've been on the commission a little less than 2 years, and I've not seen quite as much attention spent on the stormwater and the environmental assessment. Is there anything unique, and this could be staff or developer, is there anything unique about this development that warranted that much attention to stormwater and
you're talking about
soil? And it's like 500 pages of report.
Yeah. Well, it's a case of soil contamination.
That was my
sure.
We don't usually even give that to you. That's probably why you're
okay.
This is the design review item. We love those.
But we don't, I've never seen that before, so I thought maybe there's something unique about this development.
Sometimes they have some projects that have like permeable like concrete and stuff like that. They have these kind of features for all sorts.
I think it's just a new world
I guess you're using a little bit of the artificial wetlands drainage, like stormwater drainage. Is that to capture how much rainwater? Would that actually capture?
So the stormwater approach is consistent with the current MS4 permit. In the case of this project, we're required to treat the runoff. Our project is exempt from the hydromod volume portion of the permit. That's a volume control. So we opted to go with modular wetland units. They're basically biofiltration in a box. Runoff directed into the structure, it filters through the structure, gets cleaned, and is discharged out onto the, in this case, out onto K Street. Pretty typical of what the permit requires. I mean, there's other ways to deal with stormwater, but in this case, it seemed to be the most practical way for us to accomplish what we need.
And there's no storage of the stormwater. It just goes through the filters.
Right. Practically speaking, there will be some storage as the water's going through the structure, mm-hmm. but there isn't a requirement to
further hold a certain amount of water. In our case, we would be discharging less runoff in a developed condition than what is existing today in the site. The site today is almost 100% impervious.
Yeah.
And with the amount of landscaping we have on this site, the amount of runoff generated would be less. So mm-hmm. that's a positive thing for us.
And just like a technical question on the artificial wetland, is there a certain point where it reaches in volume where it can bypass the filter?
Yes, right. Yes, exactly. Good question. So the permit in general requires you to treat what they call the 85th percentile storm event, which is a relatively small storm event. Mm-hmm. Most of your pollutants are generated during the small storms, mm-hmm. and the permit acknowledges when you get the big storms, you just can't hold that. So you have an internal bypass to allow the larger flows to go.
Thank you.
Commissioner Milburn, any other further questions?
I think that's it.
Okay, next we have Commissioner Burrows. Mr. Nava, would you like to go after you?
Sure.
I don't think you're
really
a choice, are you?
No, because these two are our architect and landscape architects. So I always want to hear their opinions on everything. So anyway, take it away.
Okay, so I will touch on the landscape concept a little bit. I actually think that so this is the one thing to keep in mind is this is a concept. So it's not by any means a final landscape plan or design. but I do like the fact that it is highlighting those major focal points of the building, so those entries, the courtyard, excuse me, I do think that, you know, the street frontage as well. I think the overall concept is really good. It's kind of bringing in a little additional, you know, softening of it, which is really important considering it's a very it's a very modern design, so having that softscape really is going to make a huge difference in the overall scheme of things. As far as to follow up on your comments with the landscape buffer, there may in the final design in the planting plan there may be an opportunity to, you know, add in maybe some vines or something like that along that wall. That would be one way to to mitigate the appeal of a blank canvas for undesirable activities. So that's something that can come about later probably. But it is an option. But I do, given that it's a large parking space at the back of the site, I do like that it's kind of compartmentalized the way the design is done. I do think that's really a nice aspect. We don't see a lot of this. I think a lot of times there's in the designs that with these types of projects, there tends to be a lot more just building space, and then parking tends to be kind of filled in around it. It's almost like this design was a little bit more intentional with the parking being at the back of the property and, you know, keeping the living space towards the front where the activity is and kind of engaging that activity. So I do, generally, overall, I like the design a lot. I like the architecture. I think it looks really, it's really cool. But it's also, it's the overall concept. The fact that there was a lot of thought taken into the way that this parcel was laid out and what you guys did with the spaces, the openness of the design as well, considering it is so large and it's a very kind of a commanding design, so the fact that it has all these openings and I think really kind of helps make it feel more, or I guess less intimidating, if you will. But so that's it. I like it.
Okay, and Commissioner Nava.
Yeah, I've had a lot of comments. Just,
I want to hear about your architectural stuff, though.
I really like the project. I think it's a great project. Very, like they said, appropriate for the typology and the density of the zone. We have all those older apartments there that are not really that, clean like this project. Yeah. So I think it's, I know who they are. I like the projects. It's good that they're bringing this kind of projects to the city. So I think the only question that I have is that project related. I'm curious of how this incentive works, because I never heard about it. you know, they got reduction for four parking spaces for making 3D units really affordable, right?
Mm-hmm.
So how's that, let's say that the owner sells the project in 10 years. So how does that, is that like the, does it go by the inflation? Like every year they get the medium income and then they do 50% per year and then, but who enforces that? Is that something?
There's an agreement recorded.
Okay.
55 years in our housing years.
Okay.
Division.
But, so there's an agreement that signed at the, when the project starts, but is it monitored by, like, I mean, I just want to know how that works. I mean, it's nothing that.
Yeah, our housing people would keep track and make sure that's happening.
That's it. Thank you for the presentation.
I have a few comments. First off, I really liked what you said about the opening of the geode. It really does kind of have that look, right? It has that bright yellow, almost yolky kind of yellow, and then it's surrounded by the various different metal and concrete and beautiful and very thoughtfully designed and utilizing, to your point, being able to utilize natural things like wind tunnels on the side that are able to bring in fresh air. And then the landscape and the trees that were surrounding the whole project, I feel like it softens it, and hopefully it's in a way where it actually reduces the heat that's like taking place in those corridors, mm-hmm. so it can cool the whole area down. You know, no one wants that big black tar like thing like heating up their building. But the way that you did it and the way that landscape architects have everything planned so far, that was pretty really thoughtfully done. In regards to the urban core specific plan, I think that Commissioner De La Rosa had some questions about that, but the amenities of the area, being able to create that walkable, bikeable, community, I think this really leads to that in a really thoughtful and considerate way. I thought my colleagues asked some really good questions, including, you know, future Title 24, right? We're going to be seeing some future solar on projects. We're going to be seeing some other issues regarding stormwater or other kinds of considerations. So altogether, I thought it was an incredibly beautiful project, a very thoughtful project. And I like to make a motion to support this. I think it's really, really great. Anybody wants to second that?
I'll second that, but I can ask one question.
Yeah, actually, yeah. Motion made.
I think we said it's great to see these products here. Was there anyone who had concerns or oppositions? I didn't see that, which is a good thing, but I didn't. I just thought I'd ask because it's... I think that also says a lot, to tell you the truth. I just...
Sure.
The only inquiry was an adjacent property owner who's looking into possibly doing the same thing or adding units or something, but that was it.
Well, it's the right area.
Yeah, I think
it's not like our project.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
The right area, right?
So I think that's a good sign in terms of what's being planned there.
Super
that's
exciting.
I thought it was,
it's a good fit
for
the space. Yeah.
So I made a motion. So any other discussion points on that? Okay, and then we have a second from De La Rosa. Any other discussions, items? Okay, so with that, let's time for the good old-fashioned vote. All right, we're voting on this item as staff recommended. All those in favor, vote aye and raise your hand. Aye. All those opposed, abstained. All right, looks like the motion passes with all commissioners present voting aye. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. All right. Thank you. So that brings us to item number two. Now it's election of officers, item number three. Oh, geez. Okay, so this is the election of officers. This is for the chair and also the vice chair for it. So we'll begin first with the chair of the Planning Commission.
I'll make a motion. I've only been here less than a year, but I for one think that you've actually conducted as a chair, done a great job, and I would make the motion that you continue as chair for the next year.
I'll second the motion.
Okay, so we have a motion made by Commissioner De La Rosa. We have it seconded by Commissioner Nava. Any discussion on that topic? Okay, with that, all those in favor, vote aye. All those opposed? Just kidding. Oh, you all voted aye.
I was just going to say, you know, since Zaker's not here, we could just make him.
I did speak to Commissioner Zaker, reached out, and he did say that he was interested in continuing as vice chair. Anybody would like to make a motion on that?
I would have combined the motion together, but you asked me two separate questions. But I'll go ahead and.
Okay, so we have a motion to grant the tap by Chair Max Aker. Anybody like to second that?
Second the motion.
Seconded by Commissioner Nava. All those in favor, please vote. All those opposed, abstained. Okay, so I don't plan to be chair again, so I'll do. This is my last time, you guys. So pay attention. Get ready for all those who are interested in the future. It's been an honor to be the chair these last 3 years. Now going into my fourth year. It's fun. I love it. I get to work with Patricia when I'm not around, and I get to deal with Mr. Shirey when you're not around either. I make sure I get my stuff together. But it's been absolutely an honor to work with such a diverse group of people that are all incredibly talented in ways that I'm not. And to learn from them and to be able to hear. I'm not an architect or a landscape architect, or I'm definitely not a planner like Mr. like Torres with his years of experience, and Milburn with his graphic design eye, and you know, all this stuff. So it's really fun to be able to work with you all as colleagues, and I really appreciate your support today. It's really been an honor. I plan to do this next year, so this is my hurrah year. But after that, like, I'm just going to be the guy that that asks a whole lot of questions. And for those who don't remember me as not being the chair, you'll get to see that eventually. And I'm just going to ask a bunch of Nava does. Nava remembers. Anyway, so with that concludes that item number 3. Once again, thank you all. This brings us to a director's report, item number 4. We have no report. Okay. Item 5, commission comments. So we did hear some good comments during the thing from Commissioner De La Rosa, so staff will be looking into that and coming back at a future date regarding that question.
Yeah, I was going to ask if the commission would consider this too, is I'd like to find out what is the future plans with regard to implementing the city's climate action plan with regard to, like I said, design guidelines, with regard to various projects that come in before us. I mean, the city went through a lot of pain putting that document together, and it's, even though, as council pointed out, it is suggested guidelines, if you will. It was very particular in some of the things that it was proposing, such as energy and water efficient buildings, not to mention, the green standards codes. And I'd like to find out from staff, I mean, what is on the horizon with regard to, making sure that future projects conform to these requirements.
Sure, put that on a future agenda.
Okay. And Commissioner Torres, I want to talk about that too for a second. So we have this thing, like, it's our super, and you're a new commissioner, so this is like the coolest night ever being a planning commissioner. It's the joint meeting of the Growth Management Oversight Commission,
right,
the City Council, and us, the Planning Commission. And at that meeting, you actually have the ability to, it's on the first.
Yeah.
So this is like the superpowered, like, you get to say things, and the council's there, and the staff is there. I personally will probably be asking about the Growth Management Oversight Commission as an organization, because the name is kind of it's kind of like an interesting name. But I do think that there's something to be said about us as a city looking at having a guideline regarding climate action. Well, how are we adhering to our climate action plan? Because Zaker's not here, but I used to serve on the Growth Management Oversight Commission. I'm not familiar if anybody else has. But that would be something that would be really interesting for staff to look at on an ongoing basis, is how are we doing as a climate action plan? How are we doing in relation to a lot of different things?
So that'd be a great time to
I think that'd
that
be a really great
up,
time
and,
to mention
and,
it.
Hey, we're getting
and
all
staff
these
prepare, because we're going to be mentioning it, and prepare yourselves.
Okay, perfect.
I'm not going to stop Torres from mentioning it there, and I think a good answer would be great, because it's something we should be looking at. Any other comments, commissioners?
Okay. In regards to the climate action plan, in regards to Title 24 and how a project gets vetted through staff, in satisfying that, I hope that's included in the discussion in terms of what's under our authority.
Yes.
We may agree or disagree with staff in terms of what the emphasis may be, and the question would be is what would be in our authority? So, because I think naturally it would be the question of can we make that change here? Because that's, in my mind, that's why it comes to us, and I would hate to deny a project on that basis, but I'd like to know if we can make that change on the dais and still have a project go forward rather than holding up a project. So it's,
we had a design review item tonight, so it was really based on those other kinds of characters. It wasn't based on them putting solar on there, so that's a really fine point. So we weren't going to like deny them because they didn't put solar either way. But to the question of, like, if it wasn't a design review item and it was a different kind of item, Would that be within our authority, Mr. Shirey says? No.
Specifically to the question of a condition of approval to add solar on a project?
Well, I guess if under Title 24, and staff will correct
me,
if there's certain options for them to meet certain requirements in our climate action plan to meet those thresholds, if it's this or that, and staff chooses that, and we ask, well, okay, well, that sounds good, but we'd like to see this, and it still meets that requirement and satisfies the climate action plan. Maybe I'm reading it all wrong, but I would like to just have a discussion review on that. So we understand if we're putting a project in a position of, if we want to change something, it's essentially a denial and goes back, or if we can change that here and have that discussion among the planning commissions.
Your authority only goes as far as what is in the code. Unless it's something that falls directly under your purview. And for an example, this was a design review tonight, and Commissioner Burroughs had a very good idea of talking about the canvas of the walls, putting plantings on them or vines. Mm-hmm. That's an aesthetic issue under design review. It doesn't say anywhere in our code you can put vines. But if you thought if the commissioner thought that would be a great way to fix this, I would think the commission has the authority to require that, to require some kind of landscaping, might be vines, it might be bushes, it might be something, because it's a design review under your purview. Other more technical items, and I always use parking as an example, if a project meets a parking requirement and the commission doesn't like it, but it does, the commission has no authority to change that. What you're talking about kind of falls under that technical review, in my mind.
Mm-hmm. Under Title 24.
Yeah, and not to bring up an old project, but remember the Silvergate project? That was a good example of when the only way we were able to legally deny it was because it had an issue with public safety, and it was one that was provable. Like, not like I feel like you literally had like a study that said this is a real public safety concern. And then what was the other provision? I think it was health and safety. So because it was a design review item, and there's like these things that are very glaring, and like legally this is a public safety, legally this is a public health, like it's full of some kind of flesh-eating virus or whatever, then that's the only way we could, and that's why it was so weird that time, and also because we didn't have a quorum. That was a good example.
I think it would be very helpful to have those discussions, and it may be that we just ask the question in different ways, how the city is implementing the climate action plan when it comes to these projects, if it's a technical question, because I think that's worth having that discussion, so then we can clarify the authority under the planning commission. And I get it.
Keep it under
design review, or if it's aesthetic, or if it's something else, but I think that should be clear, so then we don't, on the dais here, well, I don't know what the phrase was, it's an inconvenience or it's whatever you said it was. I think that
But you know, Krista really asked a great thing, and like also like four of those items, like I said, it's design reviews. That means the item's probably going to pass. It's going to almost exclusively pass unless they're building a nuclear reactor that's spilling sewage everywhere, right? Yeah. So if Krista was like, you know what, let's put vines on there, then to Mr. Shirey's point, like we'll make him put some vines
that
on.
That would have been in our purview too.
That would have been absolutely
so
something
make
they could have done.
Make it a condition of the approval.
And right? You could make it conditional.
I just left it to the developer. I knew we could probably do it, but I just left it to them.
Well, in the future.
Right. Well, and I mentioned it because it's a common practice. A lot of developers don't like to do it, especially if they're doing a nice treatment on a wall, because they're spending extra money on a decorative wall that's.
I don't know how beautiful this wall
is. I'll be honest, but we didn't go there.
Yeah.
Again, it's one project, but I think it's good in terms of keeping that in mind, because it's going to be, you're
it's
definitely going
to
notice it.
I didn't know what this, because you were talking about the walls, like multiple colors, so I was like, maybe I'll, and that's why I was like, I'll let it leave it alone.
Yeah.
But part of it's like, if it looks like the one on the rendering, maybe we need to put some vines on it. Some soul, because anyway.
Next time we can be stronger.
All right, with that, the meeting is adjourned.
I have a question.
Oh, no, maybe it's not adjourned. I think back. Go for it.
What decision-maker conflicts. I know. am I reading this wrong? Wasn't it 500 feet from...
From bus stop?
Oh, decision-maker conflicts.
Decision-maker conflicts.
Oh,
yeah.
Go ahead.
This one says 1,000 feet. Is this like a... per?
No, 1,000 feet, I think, is the most up-to-date for the conflict, conflict map.
Okay.
So the code has changed.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
It used to be 500.
Oh,
recently.
Yes, recently.
Okay.
That's what I was saying. Ooh.
Hey.
So, I'm just thinking.
No one was within that.
No, not closest, I think.
So if we were within that, we cannot.
You'd have to recuse yourself.
Yeah.
You get to go get a beer early.
What is that project coming up? Controversial project up in Rolling Hills.
Right next to your house, that one?
The mental health facility?
I got a one.
The hospital, psych hospital?
The mental health facility, yeah.
Well, I'm not sure when it's going to
Maybe I don't want to be sure, you guys.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll
see.
It's on the pipeline, right?
Yeah.
That'd be World War III.
I will say this is a very good staff report. There was a lot of details in there, and I do appreciate
yeah.
the length of this one. There was a lot of detail in there, so thank you. It actually helped me answer a lot of my questions I was reading.
Good job.
And if we can, if we're going to get a controversial issue, if we can, if it'd be helpful to get it in advance, not even
a couple days before, like this was a little tight.
Well, actually, well,
this was tight, y'all.
I know everyone's busy, but it would be very helpful, especially on a project like that. I mean, this one was.
You may want to give it to us well in advance,
over.
Or what's available well in advance,
yeah.
and then what the secondary components that are maybe taking
yeah,
a bit longer. But even if it's in two chunks, especially
yeah.
for a project that scope and
yeah.
scale.
We are looking at reassessing our calendar for how we are, or when we're providing
Please.
Things, because,
mm-hmm.
yeah, we did notice
that.
That
would be
I got this on a Monday, and though this was like a design review item, I was like, that's fine, it's a design review. But
right.
if it was like a serious item, I would not have wanted it on a Monday,
right.
and I would not have
Well, and not just that, there was only one item tonight. But there's been times where we have two or three.
Right.
And,
that's rough.
And we have to try to get through all of it in a matter of like a day or 2 days. And so it's hard to.
Uncool.
So.
I was going to ask is that, because, you know, on other commissions and other board of directors, and one of the things that we do, and I wanted to know if it's permissible with here in, with regard to this commission, is whether or not we can provide staff questions in advance of the hearings.
Absolutely.
Very specific questions.
Oh, yeah.
So that way, we're, you know, because as you can tell, I'm one of those guys that like to get right into the weeds, and even though I'm, you know, the newbie here and have to do a lot of homework. And I did read the Quibi Act, just so that you know.
I do,
so
but then it doesn't
I
make it as
talk
fun.
To you about is that Quibi Act.
I call staff all the time.
Yeah, so
oh, I do it all the time.
We can do that.
That's why I'm always like.
But it's got to be, on the agenda, though.
Oh, yeah, I'm relative to ISO.
He's like, don't give me homework for something that's.
Yeah, yeah,
well,
like,
well, if you want to talk about the Quibi Act, we can put it on there.
Yeah, ask him some random lightnings. Don't lightning somebody.
You mentioned the Quibi Act, so I did actually read.
But Woodchuck,
it.
Chuck, could Woodchuck?
No, so I just want to make sure that's okay. You know, relative to the agenda, eyes of.
We appreciate that, actually.
Okay.
Yeah.
But if we don't get it in advance, we can't do that.
Right.
Yeah,
and then
you could also keep it because your thing tonight. You could have basically said like if I was gonna do the same reasoning you had, I would have said something like, "I'm looking at this right here and the green standards for the state. What are we allowed?" You could just basically we'll trust you on a lot of this stuff. You know, we'll listen and you can just truncate it and be like, based on the Green Act, what can we do? Can we put solar on here or what is required based on Title 24? And then they'll respond that legally only putting the conduit in. Future in actions, you know, future changes to Title 24 could be solar, but then you could truncate it. So like you can just, you know, like I trust you. I know you read your stuff. You're good.
I'm gonna have to say though, I would caution submitting questions, especially for quasi judicial actions like something like a conditional use permit. Really, what your commission should be doing. Is be doing everything
right,
in the public hearing.
Yeah, because that other question I was going to ask, my follow-up question, is that if I was to submit a written question and they provide an answer, then I would recite the question and the answer in public for all the commissioners to hear.
Yes.
And do it in that fashion rather
yes.
than hold it.
I recommend that and
I just don't want to dominate the proceedings. You know,
no,
that's what you're supposed to do.
For. And I would just legally, for risk type purposes, I would rather everything be done in the public hearing.
Okay. Okay. Good.
But,
public hearing.
Is everything clean?
So we can do a little research. Like if you could tip us off what you're going
to
ask.
Yeah.
As the balloon floats, a message that just happens to land, or what?
But there are times when, like, for instance, with Mr. Shirey, like, I'll have questions about, like, conduct, like, regarding, like, how many minutes is a person legally able to speak, stuff like that. I would not know those answers.
So Mr. Shirey is able to provide those, and then I usually, first thing in the meeting, explain it to everybody. So in regards to my role, like trying to...
Okay.
So I wouldn't know that.
I do have a question on that. If I were to be, have to be recused from a project because of the decision maker conflict, can I have an opinion as a citizen?
You can if it could affect your property as a private citizen.
Okay.
So you could step away from...
I'll step away from...
and then go you have, you have to your slip and go...
Like, for example, this hospital, if you're within 1,000 feet of that, you'll probably have to recuse. You would have to leave the dais and leave the room. That's legally what you have to do. But if you have a comment on it based on the proximity of it to your residence, which it is, and you want to speak as a private citizen, you could then come back in and you would submit a speaker slip and speak as a private citizen.
Republic communism, and then he leaves.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And then he leaves.
So what is the status on that item?
It's in review. We're going to be gearing up for a public outreach meeting probably sometime in September, given the huge audience that might be there.
Yeah.
We're trying to avoid getting yelled at in front of a room full of people, so we're coming up with like different ideas like how to do
that. We can't attend those, right? It's not advisable that we attend those.
I don't attend those.
It gets funny if you're a quorum and you're there. And
I would recommend not.
That's what I thought.
So what about as a citizen, though? Because that's my neighborhood, too. Well, I'm not as close as you are, but is that
participating, you can do that, too,
really. I'm just curious. Not that I necessarily would. I was just wondering if there were any...
If a quorum of you showed up, that would be a problem.
Well, of course, yeah.
So that would be a problem.
Right.
As a citizen living close by, you could, but if you know you're more than 1,000 feet away and not going to be recusing yourself, then I would recommend not doing that again. Everything on the.
Does anybody live within that distance? Will anybody have to recuse themselves?
I might.
Because my fear is, just so you know, so that means that we're not going to have a full. We may potentially not have a full. We may be one of those tight ones again, and I may only have a number of y'all. So whatever you could do to not get recused, that'd be very helpful.
It's like, so I don't know if it's how to measure.
No, but for those who you know,
there's a really ways to measure things, right? Is it a radius or is it a walking distance? Or?
It's a radius taken from the edges of the property.
As the crow flies,
just a radius.
Okay, because isn't it over? Isn't it over by the Great East Lake self-storage? Isn't it that area?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's right next to where the RV storage is.
Are you still...
Well, that's right on the edge of the residential area. So you don't come in through that way, but you're coming through the design center. But it's right on the edge of...
Okay.
We can't go too far and talk about it, though, right? Because it's...
Yeah.
No,
yeah,
we're getting ready to
the concern is that we've seen, you know, like people sometimes don't understand what the planning commission is, right? They think, you know, we are promoters, so they, you know, there's different opinions on people because they don't know what the planning commission is, and I just want to make sure that people understand, you know, what our role is, and you know, I mean, we're not the city, you know, we're not reviewing this as the city has to, you know, this is just citizen committee that has an opinion, right? But people get
just
excited about
just
it.
Just don't read next door.
Just
oh,
open the door.
Yeah.
I mean,
we have 2 lawsuits officially, so we're
officially. Oh boy.
Yeah.
You're up to late for this project?
No. 2 separate. You've approved, or got approved, you didn't approve one.
All right. So, we'll keep us updated on that.
But please don't do anything that has to have you recuse yourself unless you live where you live. That's fine. But if you're doing
because
the worst thing ever is like when I don't get to have one of you,
yeah,
and I need one of you, and like some of you legitimately have to recuse yourself where you live, and some of you decide to go to cool meetings and you have to recuse yourself because you went to meetings, and also do you really want to extend put a target on yourself in advance of something? You know, someone recognizes you or knows your face.
No, well, and that's probably the hardest part is because I am on Nextdoor. And on all these different Facebook pages and stuff, and I see all kinds of things coming in, you know, and I can't interject. I just read it. And sometimes I don't. I just like close it out. But I see it all, and it's a lot of misinformation, which is it's hard to stay quiet. But that's just part of the role. So
Well, there hasn't been a lot of information, but I think there's going to be more coming up.
from the applicant.
Well, it's been quiet for a while. Like, it had a big thing, I think, because it was in the news or something, and then it's been quiet for the last few weeks, but I'm sure it's coming
quiet
back.
For this one.
Yeah.
All right. Any other final comments? I'm about to close this thing. All right. Close. Done. Leave more comments. Leave for next time.
Thank you.
See everybody.
Yeah.
Smart.
That
is
Patricia. I didn't have lunch either.
I'm like
Steve Morris.
Thanks, Patricia.